Aye.
The clock, I think the clock just lost its battery or something, there we go.
No, we still got it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and call, we have the recording going. We'll call the regular meeting of the Sewage Commission Orville Region on August 27th, 2024 to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Masalato.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Thompson.
Here.
Commissioner Coach.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Here.
All here.
That's awesome. Did you lead us in the play?
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Next item is acknowledgement of visitors. Looking in the audience, we have the City Administrator, Mr. Brian Rain, here today. And see no others. Item number five, board meeting minutes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we included last month's meeting minutes in your packet for your review. If there's any questions, I can answer those now.
Any commissioner have any comments or questions?
No, I make a motion to adopt the minutes of July 23rd, 2024 at our regular meeting.
I'll second that.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carry. Thank you all. Did you want to move up something to closed session?
No, closed session will be the, okay, will be the first one that we get to once we do the normal.
All right. Authorization of warrants.
I met with Dennis Day and went over all the warrants. Everything seems to be in order. I recommend approval.
I second that.
For a dollar amount of...
Let me read this. Warrants paid 29107 through 29179, amount of $1,671,179.93.
57.93.
What'd I say?
157.93. I second that.
Thank you.
Okay, all those in favor, as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carry. Fiscal reports.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, no fiscal reports this month because we're undergoing our audit. So next month, we'll have 2 months in your packet, okay, for you.
Number eight, closed session. Welcome, gentlemen. It's now 5:19 and we've returned from closed session. We're back to our regular agenda. And number nine is the discussion of municipal service report, MSR, and the grand jury report regarding the sewer consolidation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So last month we got a couple months ago we got the MSR. Last month we got the grand jury report, and then at the end of last month we got the county's response to the grand jury report. So we felt there was enough out there to have a discussion here and just kind of get the feel of the board and the direction of the board on which way we should go. Myself and Plant Supervisor Salcy had a meeting with Steve Lucas from LAFCO today. His version of what's going to take place or what might take place is far different from the supervisor's version of what is going to take place or might take place. The way he put it to us was consolidation is an option, but there's some inefficiencies that need to get fixed, and if they can get fixed without consolidation, then that we should totally pursue that angle. So we kind of suggested that on a JPA level, maybe even to include LAFCO, have some monthly meetings and kind of flush out what these issues are, what they claim are our inefficiencies, and then see if we can fix them amongst ourselves without having to do any type of consolidation. And I think it would be along the lines of, you know, the same type of policies, same type of specs and standards. Like the fog issue that we've talked about, us being the lead agency in the fog, things like that. So Yeah, we just thought that, you know, and the mayor asked me to put it on the agenda so we can have a, you know, get everybody's thoughts out there and figure out a direction to go. And so we invited Brian and Fred to put their say in from the city's point of view. And so here we are. I really think that we can handle this amongst ourselves, with the city, with Thermalito and with LOPUD, and not get to this point of consolidation. I feel that we can. But that would be your guys' direction to tell us to do that. So.
Thanks, Mike. Commissioner, input?
My input would be, first off, they need to update their information on the MSR. There's some inaccuracies in that. Second off, LAFCO has to initiate any study. As a commissioner on score, I would say we're not spending any money on that. If they want to do it, they can do it. But they can't just arbitrarily say you have to consolidate.
No.
It has to be elections.
And yeah, so he explained the process today. So essentially you would need one of the three agencies involved, or the county. They're an affected agency, to come up with a resolution that says if it was one of us three or one of the three entities that make up the JPA that they wanted to consolidate, or the county could come up with a resolution saying that they felt we should consolidate. Steve's opinion, that's all it is his personal opinion, is that the county would not be motivated to do that. That they would say, this is not our problem, this is a LAFCO issue. If a LAFCO wants to build up enough public sentiment to have a public vote, because that's the other way you could do it. If it doesn't come from one of the three agencies or the county, then you could have a public vote in all three agencies' districts that would have to pass individually in all three agencies' district. It wouldn't be like a 51% of everybody. It would be, it'd have to pass in Thermalito, it would have to pass in the city, and it'd have to pass in LOPUD. If it didn't pass in any one of those, it's dead. So
we do know that this is like a project for Bill Conley.
Yeah.
So he is dead set it's going to be one district.
So it will happen.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
The cost would be enormous.
So he doesn't have the jurisdiction to make that happen. Period. Planted. Yeah. No, the county doesn't have the jurisdiction. It has to come to a public vote. Now they can they could build up enough public sentiment and convince the public that that's the right way to go, and then they could vote to do that. But like I said, they'd have to vote it at LOPUD, they'd have to vote it at Thermalito, they'd have to vote it at the city. Okay. And if all three don't vote it, then it doesn't happen. You guys would be losing your board completely. So I have a hard time thinking that your constituents would vote for it.
The only thing I'm going to say about all this is the board. You're going to lose five people. Because the cost to move everybody here is going to be enormous.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know what they think they're going to say.
And if they consolidated the sewer districts, Thermalito has water, it would have to be consolidated also. So Thermalito would lose, it would change, completely change. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to pay Cal Water's prices.
Right.
Not Thermalito. I guarantee you wouldn't get the votes. So,
well,
sewer prices.
Yeah, I look at it another way, too. You have three distinct different areas of the community. And one of the things, our bigger government isn't a better thing.
Almost never.
And when you look at the geographic size of the system we're talking about, you're going to have subcommittees in those areas anyway. I mean, frankly, there's no way you can have one agency decide on everything up in
LOPUD.
Or in Thermalito. Plus, you have such different systems, like the City of Orville system. Well, in Thermalito, you own the service line to the property line. That's your responsibility as a homeowner. In City of Orville, you own the service line to the main in the street. That's a far different cost. And if we were trying to amalgamate all those policies to the same one, you're looking at millions of dollars for the City of Orville. And we already have this problem many times when somebody has a failed sewer line, they got to go all the way to the city, you know, to the main line. So you got differences in the system that, you're going to have to work all that out. It just creates all kinds of monumental uh-ohs. And I know, Fred, you know, dealing with the sewer here, you've probably been a little different animal than you've seen before.
That is correct.
And
there's some nuances in it for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're talking about so many nuances. You're talking about a master agency that just drives people nuts. I mean, we're having so much struggle just to make sure we're doing our stuff right, and from the city's perspective, and Twisted and LOPUD, same thing. So the thing that gets me is it just makes this overall general statement, you get rid of the boards and you're going to save money. Where's the feasibility? Where's the numbers here? I would say, if you do a real feasibility, when you look at the size of the service area, we may end up having to hire more people because you've got a big area. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's huge. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all, you know, doing very well amongst our own agencies. And yes, the response to the grand jury, if we can amalgamate, you know, things, and from coming from the fire service, if we had an interoperative mutual aid system back and forth for a variety of things that you guys and staff can come up with, like, you know, somebody breaks a dump truck, you can borrow this one or something like that. Whatever you guys got, I think we'll all be happy to see that. I mean, in terms of that, and maybe when we go out to bid and have a joint purchasing some process or whatever, that might, you know, instead of buying one dump truck and the city needs a couple, you buy three or four at the same bidding, you know, those kind of things in that process, I think would bring us to some point in time. That's my view of it. I don't see the numbers here.
I don't either.
I know, it doesn't pencil to me in any way. I've tried to break it out. I don't see how it pencils.
I understand that's the mission of LAFCO, but it's kind of hard to sit and take that when all the supervisors sit on the LAFCO commission. How many city representatives do we have? Just two? And so it's kind of, I'm really not sure that's a fair, you know, presentation when you got five supervisors, county supervisors on the LAFCO commission. I just don't buy that.
Well, like Scott says, let LAFCO deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to suggest we do a feasibility study because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, as far as I would be willing to go, you know, obviously I'll go as far as you guys tell me to go, but my personal recommendation is just, you know, sit down with me, Fred, Jamie, and Dave. Obviously, Brian's invited if he wants to go to come, and hear what their list of inefficiencies and problems are, and then see how we could address them and fix them at our level, which I guess technically costs money because you're paying me, Jamie, and Dave to be in the room, but you're going to pay us regardless.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the best way to go. I also agree with Commissioner Coach and you and Mr. Salvucci, like $0 spent for us. This is your thing. If you want to push it, you spend your money. Our fee payers didn't pay money for this. They paid to get their water.
I'm going to guess. I didn't know. Do you guys have a radio system to talk to your people?
We just use cell phones.
Or cell phones. I was going to say, there might be a finding that we all have a common radio system we need to have radios or cell phones or something. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of technology things that could commonly help us all, like if we're going to buy a bunch of whatevers. I see a lot of efficiencies in that process, as we're all joint members of this thing anyway. So.
Yeah, and I don't think that having an actual mutual aid policy, rather than just me, Dave, Jamie, Dave, and Fred being like, we're there for each other, actually have it in writing. That's
I absolutely agree with that. Especially if it's going into a long extended period of time on a very large repair. Orville's been out there for 24 hours. I don't have a reserve bench. I need a couple operators that can come in and finish an excavation or run a vac on or whatever, put the street back together. We need to have that continuity.
Well, I see it already happening with the JPLs.
Yeah, I do too.
They're willing to work. You know?
Yes.
So you need a vac truck, we got a vac truck. You need a camera, we got a camera. We're not going to say, no, you can't use it.
Well, and from the safety world, I'm looking at some of us have deep holes to go down to. It might be nice to have an interoperability when we go down to a confined space opening and we all have a joint team that we back up each other, you know, for those special events where we have to go down and do a clean out or something like that, because I know the city's got some 40-foot deep holes. And that might be a good thing too, that we're all part of a safety team that we do confined space, you know.
We've always done that.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying that it's been there, but we just didn't formalize it.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think you're right, Glenn. If you guys continue to meet, determine if there is any inefficiencies that, you know, LAFCO is a little behind the curve on this MSR thing. So, I mean, they don't know the pipelines that have been replaced. They don't know, you know, in all the districts, you know, what's been repaired, what maintenance is done, you know, what equipment each one has. They just don't know it.
And we did express, and I expressed it JPA-wide, and maybe I overstepped, but that we didn't appreciate the fact that the grand jury's report said that it spoke to us and it didn't speak to any of us. And, you know.
Which is a misnomer right there. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You're leaving everybody that has.
Exactly.
Key information there out.
We told Steve, and he said, that's absolutely ridiculous. He wasn't aware of that. And I said that, but I didn't get a call. Jamie didn't get a call. Dave didn't get a call. Fred didn't get a call.
Well,
nobody got a call.
And in respect to the grand jury, even if they did come down, they're not supposed to talk about the interviews that happened. So, but it bothers me that they didn't even talk to you guys. But at the same time, if they do talk to you, it's supposed to be held in confidence. I mean, that's, I've been through a dozen grand juries, so I just say that.
Yeah, well, they state that on the
right report. The comments. Yeah. Fred or Brian, you got any comments to add? I appreciate your being here.
I agree with what's been said. There's information here that clearly, and I'm not in the weeds, it's clearly not accurate, which is concerning. I do agree that the few meetings I've gone to, there's a lot of partnerships and collaborations between all the entities. I don't sense any tension, which I heard, you know, before I came on board, that there's a lot of collaboration. If there's issues that we get more efficient, I don't see any reason why we can't do it.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yep, me too.
Any other?
I agree.
So that's the direction, and we'll get some meetings going. Sounds good.
And it'd be nice to have a report back from Saul.
Yeah, on how, sure. No problem. I'll add it to my manager's report.
All right.
And I'm sure your guys' individual managers at your different place will give you their take on it too. So.
All right, move on to item number 10, review and adoption of the conflict.
Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, gentlemen. See you later.
See you. Yes, Mr. Chair. So every couple years, we got to look at the adoption of the conflict of interest policy here at SCORE. We sent it off to Ryan. He gave it a thumbs up. Nothing's changed on it. It's the same one before. We just need you guys to approve it.
Any comments or questions?
So moved.
Moved. Seconded.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor of agenda size item number 10, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carried. Item number 11, new job description.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So I had talked to you guys about this during budget time. I'd like to create a new position. I created a little bit of confusion because in the budget discussions, I called it the office manager. We decided to change the title to office supervisor just because Mike is a supervisor, Kendra's a supervisor, I'm the only manager, so we just felt like let's keep it consistent throughout the agency. So we called it an office supervisor. My plan with this would be to hopefully, you know, when it comes up to hiring, maybe hire someone directly into this position if they meet all the requirements. But if nothing else, have it as a carrot to
recruit.
Exactly. And then once that we get somebody, if we do hire somebody into the administrative assistant position, as a carrot to have them go and get trained up and get all the stuff that we would like them to have. And this could be they could realize that they could work into a really good position. If you look at the very back page, we included the pay scale that I would like to give for this position, and there is some overlap. So if you look at the fourth step of the administrative assistant position, the four steps, that's the first step of the office supervisor. I'm sorry, I'm getting flustered. That's the first step of the office supervisor position. So it's only 15% bump over the administrative assistant position. And mainly we did that because currently the administrative assistant is doing everything that this position will do. We just, there's some things that the current employee hasn't been trained on. It's kind of hard to ask her to do things that she just doesn't have the knowledge on how to do. If she was going to be here another while, then I would ask her to go get all these certified certifications and probably promote her into the position. But anyways, that was my idea and my thought process behind it. I just think it would be nice to have to help us recruit the type of person that we need for that position. Commissioner Coach worked here for 25 years, and I'm sure he saw that position change from a regular administrative assistant into HR, payroll, accounts payable, everything. She does everything. And so it truly is a unique position. It's very similar to the position over at Thermalito that Carolyn holds as office manager. Now, she's got more billing and stuff, and that's why we didn't make the pay scale what her pay scale was, because she does have some more responsibilities than this one would do, and she actually has other employees under her. But we used her job description as a good start-off point for this.
Okay.
So,
want a new job?
That's a good idea.
You want to get out of the title, Tim?
We're asking that you guys basically approve the new job description.
I'll make a motion to adopt policy 2857.
I'll second that.
Motion is seconded. All those in favor of this agenda item, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Next item, resolution number 12, resolution 05-24, employer.
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself from this.
All right. Thank you, sir. Note that Commissioner Koch has recused himself for this issue.
Yes, Mr. Chair. As you guys know, or might not know, we are partnered in the pool with City of Oroville on our medical, dental, and vision insurance, and they are potentially changing their carrier. They're going to go to a different plan, one that wouldn't suit us, and so we would not want to be. And they told us we couldn't go with them anyway. So, but even if we could, we wouldn't want to. I don't think it's a good. It wouldn't be a good plan for our agency. So we would like to keep the same level of healthcare that we have, the exact same plan at the exact same price that we have, and just be a different broker. We would be in a different pool. We wouldn't be in with the City of Oroville.
Makes sense to me.
That's all we're asking. It's just a switch.
Is there more cost to?
No more cost. The only thing that I can't tell you exactly on cost is when the city switches, they informed us we no longer would be able to even be on dental or vision, or life insurance. So we still need to shop and get those. So those, we don't know cost on those because we haven't shopped it yet.
Right.
But so that, there could be a change there. But as far as just our Blue Shield Silver PPO plan that we're currently on, no changes other than their normal annual raises that we would be getting over at Oroville or in the new pool. Sure. Same, but the same cost.
So I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 06-24.
Been motion to approve. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried.
Mr. Coach.
Coach, come back in. Good. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, on this next one.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if I should recuse since my wife works for Golden Valley.
Ryan, we're talking about potentially switching to Golden Valley. Should Commissioner Thompson step out?
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Even though we're just kind of having preliminary talks, I think recusing himself this time makes sense.
Great, cool, thank you.
Okay. Actually, we're on item 13.
Oh,
but that's all right.
I looked ahead.
Hold on.
You're right.
Item 13. I will recuse. But
yeah, I guess. Item resolution 06-24, amending signature authorizations.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So when you guys raised my spending limit to $10,000, we thought we got all of the policies that were touching that decision, and we did not. This is one that we missed, and so if you look at item 2, this policy was still saying $5,000. So we just needed to update it to $10,000 and have you guys approve it, so that nothing's changing. The base of it is the same. Just the only thing that's changed is the dollar amount there. From $5,000.
I got a question. We just adopted resolution 06-24, but we should have been adopting, or am I reading this wrong? We should have been adopting 05-24.
Yeah, I believe you're correct. I think.
So I'll go back and.
That's how it is on the agenda. Or on,
yeah.
You see where the numbers are different? So I'll go back and say adopt resolution 05-24.
Okay.
Right.
Exactly. Okay.
All those favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, so amended and passed. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, good catch.
Do you, I shouldn't be talking on this, but for a resolution, do you need a vote for the members?
No.
So we need to say that now. So
yeah, just to correct.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 06-24 for the amendment signature authorization.
Second that.
Motion and second it. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Next item, note that Commissioner Thompson has recused himself from item number 14, which is resolution 07-24, establish accounts with Golden Valley Bank and close the accounts with the Bank of America.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So as you guys, as we reported a couple months ago, we had a couple cases of fraud on our Bank of America checking account. We caught it. Lori caught it. And we didn't end up having to pay any money. It didn't cost us anything. But at the time, Bank of America told us we needed to switch accounts to protect ourselves from potentially another round of it. So we did that. Cost us around $1,500 to switch it, buy new checks, all this stuff. Only to last month be told, hey, you got three more checks, or Lori actually caught them. You got three, they, and they went through this time. You got three more checks. And she caught it, so it didn't cost us any money, but they basically were told us, we'll change your account again. And it's like, well, we're not going to keep changing accounts because you guys keep having fraud happen. So at that point in time, I was just kind of venting to Mr. Goyer, the manager at Lilliput, and he told me that, hey, we're switching to Golden Valley and they've been amazing so far. You should at least go down and have a conversation with them and hear what they got to say. So we did, and it sounds great. They have what's called positive pay, which I guess Bank of America has too, but never even offered it or talked to us about it, which would basically be any check that Lori writes, she will notify them, and any check that comes in that's not one that she's notified them, it won't get cashed. Mm-hmm. It's in order, you know, to prevent any more fraud.
I believe they also have a pickup where if you have money on hand and you want to, instead of you going to the bank.
Yep. They're super customer service oriented and business oriented, where Bank of America is, you know, more just everyday people oriented.
Corporate bank versus family bank.
Exactly. And we already noticed the difference just in the couple of, you know, now granted they're trying to sell us, but you know, just the, you know, you're going to work with this person, she'll be we're point of contact. If she's not here, this person, we're at Bank of America, it's like whoever picks up the phone, they might be in New Jersey, they might, you never know, you know, and
call somewhere.
Well, so, I know when I just talked to Lori about that latest issue, for some reason I had four or five conversations the same day and they were all negative to Bank of America, and one of them was my son-in-law, and he has been, and what it is because they're corporate and everything is the same like the ATMs, they are a huge target for ATMs, because if you can get the override to ATM in Oroville, it works with all the other Bank of America branches. So
they're all the same.
Plus, I think Golden Valley has the newer security systems in place, whereas Bank of America is still in another system. I don't know what it is, but
go ahead.
I just encourage the contact to this bank because I've heard many good positive things about it.
So everybody's okay with this?
I'm good with it. Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to authorize the treasurer, fiscal officer to establish accounts with Golden Valley Bank and close the account with Bank of America.
I second that.
Motion and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
No opposed? Mr. Thompson, come back in. Item number 15 is the contract for the East Interceptor Replacement Project.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So we've been working on this one a while. It's changed. The way we were going to go about it changed when costs escalated through the roof. So if you guys remember originally, it was going to be a slip lining project where we would essentially run a new pipe inside the old pipe. And we got quotes back for that, and it was going to be like double what it would be just to dig it and replace it and get four and get six new manholes over there. So we decided to pivot and change directions, obviously, not pay double for something. And the other downside of the slip lining is you do lose a little capacity, because obviously you're putting a smaller pipe inside of a bigger pipe, so you're going to lose some. So this way we could replace it with the like-for-like 24-inch, but not like-for-like on the material. It won't be clay. It'll be SDR-35, which is plastic. So we received three proposals for this. Gateway Pacific came in at the 1136. I've actually added 10% to all of these. And they came in at 1136, so they could start next month. MJ Shelton came in at 1379. They couldn't start until the spring. And our local contractor, Duke Sherwood Contracting, came in for an amount not to exceed $850,000. They couldn't get a bypass pumping quote to me in time, so I actually, their price has a 20% contingency. That $850,000 is actually 20% contingency. Their bid was like $657,000.
Yeah.
But I added more just because they couldn't give me that bypass pumping project, or that bypass pumping cost. But as you can see, our recommendation for two reasons. One, obviously we like to, it's the cheapest price at $850,000, not to exceed. And two, Duke's local, and we can keep our money local, and we always...
And the project's on their property.
And the project's essentially on their property. So we can, I'm always for keeping our money, you know, the money in the community that paid the money. So our recommendation as staff is that we go with Duke Sherwood Contracting for an amount not to exceed $850,000.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
As far as the missing aspect, I mean, everything you said I agree with, but as far as the missing aspect on their bid, how sure are you that that cost that they didn't provide for you would fall below the...
It should be well below. So they gave us a cost of like $4,000. If you look at the other costs for the other contractors, it's like $40,000. Mm-hmm. And so I increased it by almost $200,000.
That's why he went above the 10%.
Exactly. Normally I had been going just the 10% contingency, but I felt like, you know, let's go a little bit more.
Okay. Any questions?
Well, I always think Duke Sherwood does a great job.
They're amazing.
I've never heard any complaints.
Yep, they're amazing.
So yeah. They're close and they're local.
if you're going to vote tonight, though, this one is a roll call vote because we're spending money.
Right.
Okay. Our only concern was this one was just that their quote was so much lower.
So do we have to make a motion or just...
Well, I think agree to it. I think their quote's lower, one, because it's on their property. They don't have mobilization. It's right there.
Right.
You know, he's saving a lot of money not having to truck anything.
Mm-hmm. He's all the countries around.
He's got all the material sitting there.
Right there, yeah.
Everything's there. The only thing he doesn't have is pipe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Sure enough. Well, I didn't entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to consider and select a proposal for the East Interceptor line with Duke Sherwood. Not to exceed, I don't have that one, $850,000.
Here a second. Okay, and then roll call vote.
Commissioner Mastelotto.
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
Commissioner Coach.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Thank you, folks. Appreciate your work on that. I know getting bids like that is not easy, and we're now making progress. So compliments to staff. It's not an easy thing to do. 16, attorney's report. Mr. Attorney, you're up.
All right. I've been working hard with the general manager of Sturdivant on the closed session item we already discussed and the grand jury issue, but I don't have anything other than that to report. Just keep working with our staff on the various legal issues that come up.
Anybody have any questions?
That's my report.
I would just say if staff comes together with, you know, putting together an inter-office memorandum, I think that we'd appreciate your purview of whatever documents come from
that. Oh yeah, I'll send it up.
Yeah.
Yep. I pretty much send everything up to Ryan before I bring it in front of you guys.
All right.
Exactly. Yep. My review is on there, whether you see it or not, but the general manager is very good about running it through our office first.
All right, next one is manager's report, number 17.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So no operational issues to report this month. Influent pump station, the punch list should be done this week. So that's good. And then next month I will report back on the final of that. Hopefully, I'll report back on the final of that if nothing else gets hung up for any weird reason. So Rudy Creek pump station, because of the shift in location and the environmental differences there, that thing has got pushed out. I wasn't real happy. Jacobs knows I wasn't real happy. They tried to adjust the schedule and the cost. I told them we're not going to pay them any more money. I'm pissed off enough about the schedule. So they kind of took that and ran with it. So hopefully early spring we are out to bid on that project. I'm going to crack the whip on them as much as I can all the way through the winter to get that thing done. I wanted that thing done already, but...
Was there any issues where it's being located because of the creek?
That's the thing. They had to do another environmental because of the creek.
That's it. They just did the environmental.
Yeah. There's no issues that we're aware of on where it's going. It's just the timing of it that just took longer. I wanted to report on the small hydro facility that we'd been talking about potentially trying to do over here at the After Bay. After reaching out to a bunch of people, we've spent a bunch of time on this. I kind of took this one over myself. They just don't think it's a winner. They just think that any money we put into it's going to be money wasted. Their opinion is DWR has too much liability to let us go in and mess with their levy, and nothing to gain, essentially, other than like a one-day article in the paper saying how they let us do this hydro facility. So their opinion is, and they were the one that we were going to spend money with, was that's wasted money. So I would say currently with the technology we have right now, the small hydro, we should back burner it and maybe look at it again in a couple years and see if it's a possibility.
Gotcha.
Okay. I got we already talked about the office supervisor position. Plan upgrade, we should be out to, by the next board meeting, I should be reporting to you that we are out to bid for a contractor on that. So that should be rolling here really quick, the first upgrade, which is the part of the project that we're using the $10.3 million that we got from the county. Some of our money too, but majority of it's that county. So I'm reporting back after 1 year of the 410 schedule. Last year when you guys approved it, we approved it kind of on a 1 year trial basis with the report back to see if you guys were good with it and how it worked. From the staff, from the operations point of view, they love it. Morale's gone up. I mean, morale was good anyways, but morale's, you know, definitely not been hurt by it. It has definitely helped to curb the overtime money. So we went from approximately $5,000 in overtime. This is call out overtime, not holiday overtime, and you're not going to get rid of that, but actual call out overtime. We went from $5,000 the year before this to $1,000 this year. So it saved us about 80%. Cool. Now, don't get that twisted. They are taking that time in CTO when they did get called out. Mm-hmm. But it also reduced the amount of call outs by about 40% because for whatever reason, a lot of our call-outs come right in the early morning or come right after we go home. And so those have kind of been eliminated because they're here earlier and they're staying later. So it's worked good. The one hole in the game that we have found with it is, and it's kind of on my fault. I've let the administrative assistant do it when we felt like the schedule would allow it. I let her work 410s as well, and we've had some issues where, like I called in sick on a Friday, I was sick, and she was off Friday, and Commissioner Clark came down, and there was no one to talk to him because the operators are out doing what operators do. So that's my fault. If I'm gonna, you know, she's not gonna be here, which I told her, hey, it's less likely that you're gonna continue to be able to do that, because exactly what I was worried would happened. But in a case where she would be off or whatever, I got to do a better job of communicating to the operators that, hey, one of you's got to stay in here and man the place. You can't just have the public coming off the street not being able to find anybody. So I would say overall, very a big success, but needs some little tweaking on my end to make it as good as it can be. And then the rest of it is just I've been working with the three different entities on the JPA response to the consolidation. So I've had meetings with everybody involved on that. So other than that, I got nothing to report. Everything's great here.
All right. Any questions, manager?
No.
Okay. Next is visitor comments. I see no visitors, so we can move forward. Commissioner and staff comments. Scott?
Nope, I've said enough.
Scott?
Yeah, just an update on, I heard that you guys might be doing the scope on Oro Dam before the 162.
Yep. So we're just waiting to get availability on one of the trucks. I got a feeler out to everybody. Jamie, we're probably going to use Thermalito to do it. They have a guy that's on light duty, so all he can do is run the camera truck. So they're like, yeah, we're looking for work for him to do, so he's going to help us out on that. We're just, unfortunately, the timing, they had something break on their camera truck. So as soon as the part comes in, they fix it, we'll get out there and do the...
Did you check with David?
Do it. We did. He offered up his... Yeah. I just felt like it would be taking from Loepud to do it. You guys got a lot going on. If Jamie didn't have the guy on light duty that was looking for stuff, I would have took Dave. I would have said, hey, first guy that can do it, let's do it. Thank you. But situation, it not being super pressing to get it done, and your guys are busy as heck, up there. I didn't feel like it would. If I got somebody that's not going to take away from Thermalito to use, then I didn't want to take away from
Dave. No, they're installing pipes.
But he offered. I mean, he jumped. I sent out an email to all three entities. All three put their hand up. We got you. Yeah. So, that worked great. I just chose to go with Jamie. I felt like it was the least pain.
The one thing is that line is there's nothing flowing through it.
Yes, exactly.
Minimal. Get in there at any time.
Yep.
Good point.
The other comment I would just remind this committee? It's just in regards to the closed session items that we keep it
under wraps.
Closed.
Yes.
Yeah, closed.
Definitely.
Definitely in this situation.
Yeah, certainly.
In fact, it's required by law. So if somebody were to disclose something from closed session, they'd, you know, that's a no-no.
Yep. Good enough. I'm going to add something. I got a chance. I've been on the. You done?
Just one last thing. Thank you. And you may have already said it. You were saying something about the hydro, about the recycled water. Is there any possible movement on that?
On the recycled water, what state of California has basically defunded all recycled water projects other than planning at this point in time, which I think I told you guys like last year, a year and a half, it rained. So this money's probably going to dry up because they're just so short-sighted. Right. Even though that we're always in a drought, and the drought's going to be back on in a month or whatever. right now, they took all the money out of recycled water.
So with the, just maybe, I mean, obviously it's up, but with the upgrades to the plant, I'm not sure if that'd be feasible to even look at as a possible, you know, something to put in there with potential upgrades is looking into at least if we don't do full recycle, if there was, you know, gosh, if we only had this part,
yep,
you know, in the process, then, or this connection here, then we could, you know, build.
Exactly. That. And that was our plan. Our plan was to kind of use the UV station as like a recycle water component of the plant and ask for money and like separate that out from phase two and ask for money and for that. But once they defunded all the grants for that, then that kind of went away. But the nice thing is,
I'll just say, it'd be cool for this plant to be ready so that if California said, okay, we're
open, got money, yes,
so that we're like,
yep,
we're right there, like very, you know, everything's set to go so that when we do apply, that
that's our plan.
Great.
Yeah, that's our plan. Okay. The nice thing about, and now, I you know, I don't want you guys to think that we don't need phase two or whatever, but what we showed you guys last month or the month before when we went over phase one, conceivably SCORE could go a while without another major upgrade,
needing
one. Now we need the one that we're getting here pretty soon. The rest of it would be awesome, and it would make life a lot easier and make a tougher permit if we were to get one. We could meet it, which we couldn't do with our current facility. But we don't violate. SCORE's really never violated, so we're not getting, they're not really cracking the whip on us to change that permit right now. So to follow up on what you said, we could wait a little bit until maybe the environment gets a little bit better for us to get a grant, rather than pulling the trigger on an SRF. Like Micah's halfway through an SRF application right now to get on the fundable list. But I mean, I think the rates now are 3.5% or something like that.
They are, but
when we started this, they were at 1%. When we started the process, they were at 1%.
Right.
So, you know, obviously that's a board decision. That's your guys' call. And, you know, we'll give you our recommendation. But we're not going to be, after phase one's done, we're not going to be in the pressing need that we are right now to get stuff done. Because we are getting electrical component improvements, which, as Commissioner Coates can tell you, that's the biggest flaw here at SCORE. That's the thing that keeps me up at night the most is, you know, we got 65-year-old breakers in there. We're running right now.
Has there ever been an upgrade to this plant?
Crate and Rag in 96, I think, happened. And other than that, no, right?
70,
you would know better than me.
Okay.
On that.
Yeah,
secondary system.
We've had clarifiers in the 80s. Mm-hmm. The original upgrade was supposed to happen in the 80s. It was just an addition of a clarifier, the clay pond, the auxiliary pump station.
Piecemealed here and there.
Yeah, just some, you know,
the,
something
the
to
The
add.
Town's been growing, so the capacity is going down, so that's why we got to get bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think that helped with your question, too, is the two filters that we just acquired from Alito can help in recycling water.
Mm-hmm. Step in that direction.
To connect to the effluent pipe, if you had to do that, at this point, you couldn't recycle that water because of the coliform is not low enough. Once the UV goes in, it should be fine.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'd have to rechlorinate bring that call from down to zero. Or two, is it two?
Two, I think.
It's less than two.
Yeah. Right. It depends on what you want to recycle it for. If you want to throw it on the weeds, it's two. If you want to be in like human contact, it's less than two.
So it's not that big of a deal to do that. I know we had talked about just like plugging a pipe in over here, going that direction.
Because
you're not going to go that direction. But
I think that's Scott's question, is whether we're going to put a stub out and be prepared.
Yeah. Mm. And see, I think it has to wait till the UV goes in.
Yeah, but we are, some of the infrastructure, well, and it'll be far away, right? But the Palermo, sewering of Palermo included in that project should be purple pipe. We asked Leopold to do that. We asked the state of California to do that. They both agreed. So that would be our first, and that's going to be our sell to the state. We have a community out here that has purple pipe. They are ready. All we need is the money to finish the back end of this and run the pipe out to connect to them. And we're going to try to ride the momentum of them cleaning up Palermo, fixing the groundwater issues out there with and the septic. You know,
when we talked about it, the whole thought is that anytime we're going to do a new upgrade, like if we would, you know, slam all on sewers, put both pieces of pipe in.
Yep.
At least it's there. You're not digging the streets up again. Right. Any new road improvements where they're digging up the street, put the pipe in.
That's great.
Good. Well, and that definitely is a good selling point to the state, because it's like, hey, the infrastructure is already there. We just need to get to it.
Right.
You know, and so rather than being like, hey, we need a bunch more money to build infrastructure too, you know, so that was kind of our plan on that.
Okay. I've been a part of an elected officials group with PG&E going to different PG&E facilities around California. And the last one was Friday last go. It was the 40-year anniversary of the Helms power plant out of Fresno. And the only reason I'm telling you about it is it was a nice thing. I don't know if you've ever been to Helms, but it's way the hell up there. It's an 8,000-foot elevation, and it's a pump back situation. They hydro water, and then they pump it back during the day to refill another reservoir. But while we were there, and there was like 250 folks there, they took us elected officials off to go meet in a separate room, and we sat down with Patty. Who's Patty? Apparently none of us are PG&E workers sitting here. Patty is the CEO and president of PG&E. And so I got to sit down to talk to her about Orville issues in particular. And I exceeded my 3 minutes, if you can imagine that. But one of the bigger issues that I raised, and the supervisor from Fresno and Tuolumne both said the same thing, is the service connection from application to a new home to actual service connection delivery is now running close to 24 months before you actually see a hookup. And the reason I'm telling you this is because she very much knew that and actually said that they're only satisfying the 90-day hookup time in about 8% of the time in their system. And their goal is to get down to 90 days response at least 80% of the time. So hopefully you're going to see an improvement in PG&E's to delivering the service part or their service connection to the new homes that were coming up. That's a big problem in a lot of places. And she explained the problem is they're still suffering revenue shortfalls from the bankruptcy. And I just want to say that she was on it. She's not disregarding it. She's not, you know, and it was very, very good to hear that they're working toward, you know, a different scenario than they had in the past. She has created a whole different culture in PG&E, and it shows very much from sitting there talking with her that long period of time. And then she was always asking for new and innovative ideas, and of course I threw one out there. A nuclear power plant at the After Bay to warm the water for rice production. Because right now, state water contractors compensate Western Water $2 million a year because the water's too cold and the rice production is diminished because of that. If they could warm the water up, their rice production would increase by 200%.
Would it kill the fish?
Oh, no.
Oh.
Not at all. No, no, no. If you've been to the Diablo Canyon, they fish would love the warmer water.
Oh.
Yeah, they're... So anyway, she looked at me kind of funny. We talked about it, and she says, probably not in her lifetime. And I said, well, but it's still an idea, you know, and it might be something. There's plenty of water. They can warm the water up, and state water contractors could fund the thing to help solve their PG&E or their electric plant. But they're the biggest consumers of electricity in the state of California. Mm-hmm. They buy more electricity to pump the water up than anybody does. So it was just interesting. I even tried to egg her on a little bit. I said, if we build a plant, we'll call it Patty's Nuclear Power Plant. Didn't seem to go very far. Anyway, I just want to report PG&E is on the idea, and they realize they're way behind on providing service to people.
Did they say anything about solar? You know, because people are basically the incentive to put solar on houses is kind of
gone away.
It's diminished. Yeah, that pump back facility, Helms. Their plan there was to pump back during the night when there's excess power. Now they pump back during the day because there's excess cheaper power coming off of solar. Believe it or not, that's where they pump and refill the reservoir during the daytime and then hydro it during the night.
But so, did they say about changing it back to?
That's my plan.
Better incentives.
That is the incentives that have to come from the PUC. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And there's a lot of things going on, but I just, service connections are a big deal. And one of the big problems she has is getting parts. They order stuff and they can't get the delivery happening, and the parts they're getting are not of good quality. So that's another issue.
Well, we're going to buy U.S.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's true. Yeah. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you for going to the meetings. I mean, you seem to take a lot of your own time to attend a lot of different meetings.
It's been fascinating, especially we went to the Moss Landing Power Battery Facility and the ATC Center, which was fascinating, in San Ramon, which is their testing center for all their devices. They have an 800,000 watts or volt testing device. It's a big dome center, and they try to hit something with as much volts to see when it's going to fail. And the stuff that fails is pretty interesting to see how it blew up and that kind of thing. I will say one of the interesting things, they're testing all the new chargers for your homes for your new EV cars. There's a charger now that you're supposed to have, and they have them all, and they're about ready to announce the new one. And the new one is, you put it in your house, you charge your car, and then it happens during the night, you lose your PG&E power. Guess what powers your house? The battery in your car.
Oh my gosh.
I go, say that again.
Yeah. Can't go to work the next day.
Yeah. I can watch HBO all night then.
And I was like, okay, I didn't even realize they're working on it. And I was like, wow, you're kidding me. So anyway, it's been fascinating, and there's a lot of things that are new out there that it's good to see. And it's nice to have she remembers Orville now.
Yeah, like thank you.
You never know. Might help down the line one day.
For sure.
Something. And do you have anything?
I don't have anything to report.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, thank you all. I think we've had a good meeting, a good topic. I will call for adjournment. Do we need a motion for adjournment?
No.
Okay. I will adjourn the meeting until the next regular board meeting to be held on September 24th, 2024 at 5 p.m. Thank you all.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good one.